Anybody else from the audience that would like to come forward? Welcome, Dave. Or Daniel. Daniel.
Hello, my name is Daniel Zatz, and it's messy and sloppy outside the Spark also right now. But inside it's beautiful, and starting on Saturday, kids started to play. And it looks great, and the kids are having fun. And in large part, it's thanks to you all. And in another large part, it's thanks to the community, because we've had over 3,000 hours of volunteer time put into it from many craftspeople throughout the community donated their time. There are a couple of people who helped at the Spark almost every weekday for 6 months, and they worked there without any pay. We brought them pizza, but that was it. And Spark is open now. We're going to have an open house this Saturday, the 15th, from 1 to 3. Please come and check it out. We have work to do still. We don't have water or sewer or bathrooms yet because we spent all our money on the floor. So we're going to do a little more fundraising. But it's open. The kids are playing in there now after school every day. And we're ready to grow it into a bigger community project. Or we're ready to grow the schedule. We're looking to hire a general manager, and we'll have more and more hours. I think, given the other things that are going on in this room today, I think it's really, really helpful to remember that this community came together in an amazing way to create this. We've been building it for 6 months. We started just about a year ago, and now we have this space. And so this community, when we decide to, we can do things. We can all come together and do some really cool things. And there are a lot of other projects that need to get done, and hopefully we'll get to them soon. So thank you for all your support.
Thank you, Daniel. Hey, stay there for a second. We'll just take a little break from protocol here, and I think it'd be good for us all to applaud you for your building.
That's embarrassing.
I know you don't like to be embarrassed like that, but we greatly appreciate the fact that you've done that, and that it'll be a grand opening this Saturday, the 15th.
Well, it's an open house. We want to do a grand opening when we have bathrooms.
Yeah. Good idea.
Yeah.
Thank you very much again.
Yeah, thanks to all of you.
Yeah. Anybody else from the public that would like to come forward at this time, please? Turn the microphone on, sign in, state your name.
In my mouth, sorry. That's rude. I didn't plan to speak tonight, but in light of the feeling in the room, I feel I need to. My name's Keisha Etzweiler. I'd just like to rebuke the narrative that those that support the recall are hateful, unkind bullies. I would challenge anyone in this room to look at the good people whose names may be on that recall and look them in the face and call them unkind, hateful bullies. I don't think it's fair. I don't think it needs to be a matter of love versus hate or right versus wrong. I think it can simply be a matter of opinion A and opinion B. Everyone has a different opinion on this. It doesn't make one right or wrong. It doesn't make one group hateful or unkind. It just is what it is. Many that support the recall, they consider that the council members took an oath that they would bring things, they take an oath to be honest, faithful, and impartial, and they don't feel that that was handled right in this process. I think it continues the division in this community to continue to take up labels and label people that don't agree with you. I simply think it's a matter of opinion A versus opinion B. and to challenge yourself that if you're going to look at people in your community as hateful and unkind and bullies just because they have a different opinion than you, then you're part of the problem. And that's really all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Keisha. Sir.
Hi, I'm Catherine Carso, and I'm a city resident. I also wasn't planning to speak today. I've certainly gotten my opinion out there, but you know, I've got to say that when in the headquarters for collecting the petition signature, there's a sign that says, "You're fired." That's not kind. And that is what it is. That's an awful thing to be doing. You know, our three council members are not on a television show. They're here doing really hard work. This is not a game. This is very serious, and it takes a lot of time and effort. And I wanted to share with you as a voter, I feel very abused, and I disagree. Of course, I'm not an attorney, but I disagree with our good clerk's memo. It essentially what it comes to is feeling like the sentiment being that the voter gets to decide. Well, I'm a voter, and I decided an election on three people serving on this city council and serving a full term. And I feel with the recall under such frivolous reasons and, you know, such poor reasons for doing a recall petition that I as a voter, I'm being misused and disenfranchised, because I voted for three people to do full terms. When I was a young woman in Ketchikan on the Ketchikan Gateway Borough Assembly, I was voted in. I was a top vote getter. I was less than 30. There are big issues going on with the lands program, et cetera. My opinion was in the minority on the Borough Assembly, but obviously the majority in the community. And it was all men, older men. I was the only woman, and of course I was much younger. You know, my fellow assembly members, as much as we disagreed, as hot as it got, and it got very, very hot, they would always, I knew I could rely on them, that they would always be behind my right to fulfill my job on the assembly, whether they agreed with me or not. And I'm just hoping that each of you who are not on this recall petition are supporting the members that are on the recall. I think that there is an obligation for you all to stand up for this process and the right to have differences of opinion and to go forward without the threat of recall. That not only is difficult for the people that are on the recall petition or the recall campaign, but it's an abuse of the voters who put those people in that place. So, thank you.
Thank you, Catherine.
3 minutes.
Well, welcome, Jack. Former mayor of Homer, Alaska. Good to have you here.
Thanks again for everybody's work here. I'm Jack Cushing, a city resident. And just to be real short and sweet, I think folks just have to listen to the rhetoric that's being aimed at the three people that are being recalled to wonder why some people think there's a lot of, I didn't want to use some of the words, but very, very awful things that I hear. And they're not deserving at all. And I want to just let folks know how much I'm going to support them. And I run a wide and a ride after 40 years. A wide circle of friends in town, and just about everybody I know is amazed. You just can't believe that this is happening, and they're ready to come out and be big supporters. And the last thing I want to say, it's the type of work that you three are doing, that during my 17 years of service, 12 of them as an elected official, it's the type of things that you're doing that brought some of the great things to the peninsula, and especially the southern peninsula. Without people speaking up for things that are happening in the area, we wouldn't have half the parks, half the facilities, half the institutions, half the programs that we have now. It just takes speaking up. And if you are held to a standard, is this exactly something to do with the city, or is it something to do with Cross Bay? You can't, it's your job to speak up for the greater area, the community, the state, and the nation. And if any of the councils I served with had been held what you're being held with now, the city wouldn't be anywhere compared to where it is now, because it takes a lot of nerve, it takes spirit, it takes energy to stand up and keep going. So I'll be there for you, and keep at it.
Thank you, Jack.
Thanks.
Oh, no, let's hold it. All right. Is there anybody else from the public that would like to come forward at this time? You'll have 3 minutes. Okay. Welcome, Poppy. Remembered your name this time.
I know I've been here before, but I'll be quick. Poppy Benson, and I'm a 29-year resident of the city of Homer. And I want to talk tonight about small-town values, because I learned about that the hard way. When I moved here 29 years ago, I had previously lived mainly in big cities. And I had probably not been in Homer more than 3 weeks when someone cut me off at the three-way stop in front of the bowling alley. It was my turn, and I made a big face. Now, I do not flip people off, but I was probably going like this. And then I thought, oh my God, I just met that woman and we're going hiking next week. It was Ann Wieland, and if you're listening, Ann, this really happened. So I learned the hard way about small town values. And I've been thinking about that a lot in regards to the recall issue. Because there's just only so many of us here on the end of the road. And I think why this issue is calling us all such tremendous angst is because, unlike national politics, which were really rough last year, and state politics, which are pretty rough too, we really don't know those people, you know? I mean, I've met the senators a couple times, but I don't know them. We know you guys. I mean, Tom, I've known you a couple years anyway, Katriana more than 20, Don at least 10, David more than 20. Heath, you're probably the only one I didn't know, but I know your family, so that's gotta count, and Brian certainly, and Katie, so, and Shelley, way back. So we know each other, and I think that's what makes it so painful. And our lives are all intertwined, and I appreciate that Sarah addressed this and tried to dial things back, because we will see each other at the grocery store forever. We teach each other's kids. We hire each other's kids. I spotlight one of the recallista's daughters in the Nutcracker, and she probably doesn't even know that. Shelley knows how things are in the spotlight booth. And we're each other's scout leaders and swim coaches and so forth. Our lives are intertwined. We can't get away from that. We will see each other forever. And whenever there's one of these really painful incidents that happen in town where people are yelling at each other, and people have been yelling on this, liar. I heard liar last week. That's a strong word, particularly if it hasn't been produced in black and white evidence. And I always wonder, what's going to happen if your son wants to marry their daughter? Are they going to forget that, what you said about them? Are they going to forget that? No, they're not. We have this tightly woven fabric in this town, and we have to protect that fabric. And this recall is too much for that fabric. It's tearing at us. And I know there's a tendency to say, oh, you know, we're just taking away consent to be governed and stuff like that. But a recall is a political assassination. If you want to vote against somebody, you vote against them in an election. You put your own person up.
A recall is a political assassination. But thank you so much for your testimony tonight. Is there anybody else from the public that would like to come forward at this time? Councilmember Erickson, just checking, do you need to run to your event?
Yeah, but I need to do the reconsideration first because I...
Okay, so you're okay. All right. Welcome.
Hello, my name is Brandy Super. I'm a Homer resident. For last 18 years, I believe. Moved here in 96. I think what's going, we, number one, I appreciate you all and all your hard work that you do. This is a hard job. I wrote up some, I guess, in regards to the resolution that was brought forward and the recall. I'm thinking, what is the common ground most of us can agree on? Number one, we want a safe community for our children to grow up in. Number two, we want our community to be a place where people and businesses grow and prosper. Number three, we are a community that welcomes law-abiding citizens who contribute to our community and the surrounding areas for the common good of everyone. Through the process of bringing the resolution forward, I had the opportunity to read some of the emails, and I had the opportunity to read the first draft of the resolution. And even though we all had an opportunity to go and vote behind closed doors, I, for one, I did vote for President Trump. And it was a hurtful thing to hear, oh, let's resist him and all this rhetoric. And he's like, he's our president. I mean, it's honoring the office of the president, no matter who the person is that's holding that position at the time. So when that came across, I felt that it was very hateful and hurtful. And the fact that we want to harbor illegals, it just concerned me for my two girls that are growing up here. And I think sometimes there's a lot of fear behind what has happened here on all sides. So anyway, I want to thank you for your time and thank you for your dedication to what you're all doing.
Thank you, Brandy. Anybody else from the public that would like to come forward, please come forward and make sure your mic's on, sign in, state your name.
Hi, my name is Mary Griswold, city resident. I don't understand how this recall process has evolved, though I've studied it from the beginning. But I am very disappointed that council members can be censured for introducing resolutions brought forth by the community and discussing them. I voted for my council members for a full term, and I expect them to serve it, whether I agree with their decisions or not. And that's why we have elections. Two of them are up for election this fall. I think we should respect them for considering our opinions and making decisions for us. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary. Anybody else from the public? Come forward, sir, and sign in, turn on your mic. State your name.
My name is Ralph Grain. I live in the city. And I actually came here to talk about the Ordinance 1716 dealing with the Skylanders. And while I understand the intent, I think it was 1716.
Oh, yeah, that's one of the items that's up for public hearing, so can't address it right now.
Oh, you can't?
No, sir.
Okay.
But shortly.
So we're addressing right now just
public comment. Still, we're at the very beginning.
At, in general?
On the agenda. Yeah, anything that's not a public matter.
Well, I
wasn't anything
really
on
prepared
the
for that. I'll bet you there's a couple people on the council, actually all council members, that are probably going, eh, there's a lot of things they didn't tell me when I signed on with this outfit. but in reading through all of the information that I have read through, it seems to me that it would be sage wisdom to involve more than just the circles that some travel in. Perhaps, I don't know exactly who was talked to on some of this stuff before it became a draft even, but it certainly seems like it was a close-knit group. And I would encourage involvement of people that you think, oh, this person is gonna hate this. I would want that person involved if it was me. I would love to hear from somebody if I was presenting something to at a citywide level, a community level. If I knew that there was something going to be controversial, like this one is, you knew that going in. I've taken up controversial causes myself, and you know they're going to create angst, and I don't doubt for a second that that wasn't a thought in your mind on this one. So I would just encourage you to get other people, especially the ones you see as opposition, involved in something like this. And I'll leave it at that, because you're doing a bang up job, and I wouldn't have your job for anything. So I would just encourage you to get other people involved that you see as opposition before something like this is brought forward, and we could prevent a lot of this that we're going through right now, which is good growth in my book.
Thank you, Mr. Crane. Everybody else from the public that would like to come forward at this time? You'll have 3 minutes. Okay. Seeing none, we'll close public testimony at this time. Then I just would like to also state that, you know, there were people here that would ask that the rest of the council and the mayor support those that are being recalled through our support. However, I need to let you know that although we thank you for all of your comments from both sides regarding the recall petition process, please be aware that while the city council members are free to discuss the recall petition when they are on their own time and not acting in their official capacity as council members, the city attorney has advised all council members to refrain from discussing the recall petition during council meetings, work sessions, and other official public events. This means that none of the council members can respond to or address any of the public comments or concerns raised tonight regarding the recall petition. So that brings us to the next item on the agenda, and I normally would take a break now, but I'm not going to, because I know Councilmember Erickson's been really careful not to leave us, but we have to get through this item before she's able to move on to her next commitment tonight. That's reconsideration. And what we have before us is item A, ordinance 17-07S, an ordinance of the City Council of Homer, Alaska, amending Homer City Code 4.10.040, 8.08.120, 14.05.425, 21.93.060, 21.93.070, 21.93.100, 21.93.110, 21.93.500, 21.93.540, 21.93.550, 21.93.560, 21.93.570, 21.93.700, and 21.93.710 to replace the Board of Adjustment with a hearing officer to decide administrative appeals under Homer City Code, including but not limited to the use of a hearing officer to order impoundment of dangerous animals, decide disputes regarding interim merchant licenses, and decide disputes regarding qualifications of a candidate for office. Adderhold, introduced January 23rd, 2017, referred to the Planning Commission public hearing and second reading March 28th, 2017, reconsidered by Erickson March 29th, 2017. Is there a motion for the reconsideration of the vote on ordinance 17-07S?
So moved.
Second.
Motion and a second. Is there any discussion? Okay. I'm moved. Go ahead, Madam Clerk, if you'd like to roll call vote, please.
Mr. Lewis?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Satterholm?
Yes.
Ms. Reynolds?
Yes.
Mr. Struzis?
Yes.
Mrs. Erickson?
Yes.
That's 6 yes.
Okay, thank you, Madam Clerk. And because we've already moved this item to the next item under the consent agenda, we made it item A. We'll go ahead and address it at this point. So ordinance 17-07S, as I've read previously, is now up for reconsideration. Is there any discussion? Okay, you would.
I move that we would substitute ordinance 1707S2 for ordinance 1707S.
Okay, is there a second?
Second.
Is there discussion?
Does that mean you have to read this whole thing again with all of the numbers?
I would say that it probably does.
Can't we just do an abridged version?
Probably not. So, yeah, I'll try to be quick. Ordinance 17-07-S2, an ordinance of the City Council of Homer, Alaska, amending Homer City Code 21.93.060, 21.93.070, 21.93.080, 21.93.100, 21.93.110, 21.93.500, 21.93.540, 21.93.550, 21.93.560, 21.93.570, 21.93.700, 21.93.710, to offer appellants the choice between an appeal before the Board of Adjustment or a hearing officer in appeals of Planning Commission decisions. Erickson. There you go. You have it before you. Is there any discussion? Council Member Adderholt.
Do we need to postpone this or need a motion to postpone this till our next meeting and have hold another public hearing? Is that where we are?
Your Honor, right now there's a motion on the floor to substitute. So we need to take care of that one first.
Anybody, any further discussion on the motion to substitute? Council Member Erickson.
Should I, the reason that I brought this forward for reconsideration is because I felt like over the years that an ombudsman was really important when we get into areas of dispute between people dealing with the city staff and with the council when they didn't feel like they were getting a fair hearing. And so I voted for the hearing officer because I see that that's an appropriate use at some times, but then also realizing that there's times where maybe it's not quite so severe that the Board of Adjustment would actually be more than appropriate and less costly. So in putting this together, the thought was that when someone comes with a dispute and they fill out the paperwork, that they have a choice looking at what's going to be fairest for them, looking at the Board of Adjustments, and they can look at it and say, you know, this person has issues with me. I don't feel comfortable and safe that they're going to look at my case fairly, so they could choose the hearing officer or vice versa. And so that is actually to as a protection for our citizens to get the most fairest hearing that they would in a dispute.
Thank you, Councilmember Erickson. Is there any further discussion regarding Councilmember Struzas?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I think this substitution number two is a great compromise. The council is not dictating to an appellant that they must choose a hearing officer or must choose a Board of Adjustment. It's up to the appellant to make that decision on their own. And I think that's one of the things that we can do best, and that's strike a good balance and have a good compromise. And I salute Councilmember Erickson for bringing this substitution forward. I certainly can support it.
Thank you, Councilmember Struzas. Any further discussion? Seeing none, is there anybody opposed to substituting 17-07-S2? Seeing none, Madam Clerk will consider Ordinance 17-07-S2 substituting 1707-S. Councilmember?
Don't we have to postpone this and then bring it up for a public hearing at the next meeting?
Yeah, would you like to make that motion?
Sure, we'll postpone it and bring it up. You know, I make a motion to postpone this to the, was it April 28th meeting or whatever? 24th for public hearing and hearing Brian read all of the numbers again.
Yeah.
Second.
Thank you. And there's a second. Council Member Reynolds. Is there anybody opposed? Seeing none, we'll consider that approved to postpone this until April 24th, where we'll have a public hearing, and I'll get to read it again. Okay, and now I know that Councilmember Erickson needs to...
Can I respectfully ask to be excused because I need to go practice?
Okay.
I told him I would be there. What? Go ahead. I gotta leave. They're saying, where are you?
Well, thank you for being here, and thank you for what you're doing for the community later, or in about 5 minutes. They're waiting for you, a whole auditorium full of circus stars. Okay. Okay, that takes us now to the consent agenda. Are there items on the consent agenda that the council members would like to pull, and Council Member Adderholt?
I'd like to pull Memorandum 17-055 and Resolution 17-038.
Okay. 17-055, the memorandum will go under new business. Okay. And the second one was 17-038, item K, and that'll go under resolutions as item A. Are there any other items that council members would like pulled? Okay. Seeing none, Madam Clerk, could you please read the consent agenda as amended?
Yes, item A is the Homer City Council unapproved special and regular meeting minutes of March 28, 2017 by the City Clerk. Recommend adoption. Item B, Memorandum 1755, has been moved to new business. Item C is Memorandum 1756 from Deputy City Clerk, re their liquor license transfer for the Down East Saloon. Item D, Resolution 1731, a resolution of the City Council of Homer, Alaska, confirming the appointments of Elizabeth Walton as Treasurer and Jenna D. Lemieux as Deputy Treasurer for calendar year 2017. Sponsored by City Manager. Recommend adoption. Item E is Resolution 1732, a resolution of the City Council of Homer, Alaska, designating signatories of city accounts and superseding any previous resolution so designating. Sponsored by City Manager. Recommend adoption. Item F is Resolution 1733, a resolution of the City Council of Homer, Alaska, approving the 2017 land allocation plan, sponsored by Mayor and City Council, with Memorandum 1758 from Deputy City Planner as backup. Recommend adoption. Item G is Resolution 1734, a resolution of the City Council of Homer, Alaska, approving the sale of Lot 1, Harry Fayer Subdivision, Section 14, Township 6 South, Range 13 West, Seward Meridian, Kenai Peninsula Borough, Parcel Number 179-11005, to the responsible bidder for $1, and authorizing the City Manager to execute the appropriate documents to finalize the sale. Sponsored by City Manager. Recommend adoption. Item H is Resolution 1735, a resolution of the City Council of Homer, Alaska, awarding a term contract for road, trail, and drainage professional engineering services to HDL Engineering Consultants of Kenai, Alaska, Kinney Engineering of Anchorage, Alaska, and Nelson Engineering of Kenai, Alaska, and authorizing the City Manager to execute the appropriate documents. Sponsored by City Manager and Public Works Director, with Memorandum 1759 from Public Works Director as backup. Recommend adoption. Item I is Resolution 1736, a resolution of the City Council of Homer, Alaska, awarding a term contract for water and sewer professional engineering services to Dowell of Anchorage, Alaska, and G.B. Jones and Associates of Anchorage, Alaska, and authorizing the City Manager to execute the appropriate documents. Sponsored by City Manager and Public Works Director, with Memorandum 1760 from Public Works Director as backup, and recommend adoption. Item J is Resolution 1737, a resolution of the City Council of Homer, Alaska, awarding a term contract for Port Harbor Marine Professional Engineering Services to R&M Consultants, Inc. of Anchorage, Alaska, and HDR of Anchorage, Alaska, and authorizing the City Manager to execute the appropriate documents. Sponsored by City Manager and Public Works Director, with Memorandum 1761 from Public Works Director as backup. Recommend adoption. Item K is Resolution 1738 that has been moved to resolutions. And item L is Resolution 1739, a resolution of the City Council of Homer, Alaska, requesting the City Manager issue a request for proposals for operation of fish pump services on the south trestle of the Homer Fish Dock, sponsored by Councilmember Erickson. Recommend adoption.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Is there a motion for the approval of the recommendations of the consent agenda as read?
So moved.
Second.
Is there any opposed? Seeing none, we'll consider the consent agenda approved as read. Next item on our agenda is visitors. Tonight we have Joy Stewart from the Homer Foundation with the City of Homer Grants Program. 5 minutes. Welcome, Joy.
Good evening. I'll make this as brief as possible because you've got more ahead of you. It's been a long evening, but before I put my professional hat on, I just want to thank each and every one of you for your public service and how important that job is to this community. And I hope you will continue to bring all segments of the community's issues forward, have those voices brought forward so all of us can participate in this democratic process. Really appreciate it. I actually have a written report, and I'll leave it with you and the city clerk, but there's a couple of highlights. This is the 18th year that we've administered the City of Homer Grants Program. And in that time, we've distributed over $740,000 to local nonprofits. And I think you guys can be really proud of the support that has come through the City of Homer and the Homer Foundation to help support that vital nonprofit community. This year, between the city's allocation, the earnings from the City of Homer Fund, and the earnings from the Kachemak City Fund, we actually had $41,887 available for distribution. We generally have about 10 applicants. This year, we only had 8. We decided to take a portion of the city's current year allocation and put it into the corpus of the fund to help that grow. So we were able to distribute $35,887 to 8 different nonprofits. And I'll just read the names, and the amounts will be in the report. The Bunnell Street Art Center, the Center for Alaskan Coastal Studies, Cook Inlet Keeper, Homer Community Food Pantry, Hospice of Homer, Kachemak Bay Family Planning Clinic, Kachemak Heritage Land Trust, and Kachemak Nordic Ski Club. You can see the breadth of support that goes into the community. The committee every year talks about how difficult it is to have a competitive grants process with such unsimilar types of organizations, but they all agreed and have every year that the organizations are highly functioning, well-managed nonprofits providing valuable services and programs to the community. We pull a committee together with board members and community members at large. Our committee distribution chair is John Mao. He chairs the meeting, but he recuses himself because he's a fiduciary on another organization. But there were no other conflicts disclosed for this year. In addition to going through the review process, John Mao also compiles some information for us that I think you'll find very interesting. He did the same last year. He does a synopsis of the economic impact. And of these 8 organizations, because they have to provide their economic or their budgets and various documents to us, that in the last year, these organizations generated over $3.6 million in revenue, with $1.9 million of that coming from outside sources, state and federal grants and foundation grants. So that's new money that comes into the community through these nonprofits. They also employ 59 full, part-time, and seasonal employees with a combined personnel expense approaching $1.5 million. These organizations help to illustrate just how important Homer's nonprofit sector is as an economic driver, as well as the amazing things they do to make our community healthier, safer, more vibrant place to live. With the economy, both at the federal and state level, is starting to have an impact. We're already seeing certain nonprofit organizations having to stop certain programs due to grant cuts. Some are losing personnel. So now more than ever, the city's support is really vital to keep them resilient and strong to continue to provide those programs and services for the community. So, again, just want to thank you for your continued support of Homer's nonprofit community. The Homer Foundation appreciates the opportunity to administer this program, and for the listening audience, and I'll remind you, we do it with no fees charged to the city. We just want to continue to provide that service and support and make sure that our nonprofits are strong and resilient. This year, we also provided fiscal sponsorship at no fee to the SPARK program, the city's portion of the funding. We provided the oversight, and I can assure you, every one of those dollars that you needed to have matched 2-to-1, I saw the receipt for every single dollar. So thank you again, and for the work you do.
Thank you, Joy. Do you have time for a question?
You bet.
The council member have a question for Joy? I was just going to ask if on the $3.6 million that you mentioned and the 59 employees, was that just from the eight that were the awardees this year?
Correct. Just from the eight organizations that submitted applications.
But actually, I've heard hundreds of nonprofits bringing value to the city.
Right. This was just a small segment. Just to give you an idea, if you expand it out, I don't have the statistics for the whole community, but just based on these eight nonprofits, the impact that they have on the community.
Thank you very much for your report. Next, I'd like to welcome Michael Hawfield, Alaska Historical Commission, 150th anniversary of the Alaska Treaty of Secession. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you for allowing me to say a few things. I won't take much of your time either, but first of all, I want to report happily, Ron gets an A on his little discourse on government and our history with that wonderful document, the U.S. Constitution. But I also want to second what Joy said about the importance of the work that you all do. It's amazing. I've sat in here for many years watching the kind of detail work that you have to wrestle with. I applaud it. And I am particularly anxious that we see the sanctity of our elections upheld. I'm here to tell you about the 150th anniversary of the Treaty of Secession. Usually we refer to it as the Purchase of Alaska, but that's a controversial concept in itself, is what in the world was purchased. Ask any native Alaskan and they'll come back at you with demanding some sort of explanation of just what in the world the United States paid $7.2 million for in 1867, 150 years ago. And we celebrated that day when the whole process began a little over a week ago on what we call Seward Day, because the Secretary of State, William H. Seward, a visionary, was also an expansionist. He was a person who had his eye on, as Secretary of State, had his eye on the Caribbean, he had his eye on Hawaii, and he had his eye on the Pacific as a whole, as a way for the United States to expand. He was very much a devotee of this notion that you're all familiar with, of manifest destiny, that somehow the nation was destined to grow in dramatic ways. That came at a time right after the American Civil War, when the country was beginning to feel expansive again. And the Russians at the same time were feeling as if they needed to be, to contract, to draw in their empire because of the international competition from the British. And so if we were to look at a map of the area where we live in the Pacific Northwest, we would see competitors of the Russian Empire, the British Empire, the Spanish, and in the form of the Republic of Mexico, and the United States, all competing for control of where we are now. And it happened that the affairs of the Russian Empire were such that they began to think about selling their interests in what we know as Alaska, and approached the Secretary of State, the expansionist, the manifest destiny visionary, with the proposal to sell their interest in Alaska. And famously, a conversation was held about 2 o'clock in the morning in Washington at the State Department when a treaty was signed. They had had, obviously, conversations before that, but it was done in the dead of night, brought to the Senate the very next morning, and brought out onto the Senate floor after a couple of hours of speeches, the Senate voted overwhelmingly, 37 to 3 to go with that treaty. And of course, it'd take another year and a half to complete because the House of Representatives would have to weigh in on that and come up with the money. And that became, not surprisingly, a sticking point. So the check wasn't actually issued until the next year, in August of 1868. But then America had Alaska, whatever that meant. And that's part of what this 150th commemoration, it's not a celebration, it's a commemoration, is all about, is to ask Alaskans all over in their museums and schools and communities to reflect on and try to understand what happened in 150 years ago. Alaska Native people were not happy. This was not something that they welcomed with open arms. And things became worse over the decades after the purchase for Alaska Natives. And our Lieutenant Governor, Brian Mallott, is a Tlingit leader, and he is in charge of the commemoration. And we are reminded frequently about the need to be reflective about the impact of this event. It was very important for Alaska, there's no question about it, but the challenge of the commemorative events, and they're happening all over the state in the course of the coming year, is to understand and reflect on the importance of this event for all people. So.
Thank you, Michael, and I see you brought a nice booklet.
You have a nice little booklet there that, by the way, all the monies raised and spent on this have been raised privately and with corporate help. And so there is a website in which you can see the different events that are going on. They're happening all over the state in a variety of areas. So,
what website would that be?
That is the website for the, I think there's a reference to it in the booklet, and it is, it's a dnr.alaska.gov parks/parks is
sure
where you'll find that. And the Alaska Historical Society also has a page devoted to it.
Beautiful, informative booklet. If somebody wanted one of these, where could they get one?
If somebody wants one tonight, I have a few more, and I'm going to leave a bunch down at the library.
Right.
So, and they're for free, of course.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you.
Okay. The next item we have are announcements, presentations, and the borough report, commission reports. And we have the first item on the agenda there is item A, memorandum 17-057 from City Clerk regarding the recall petition of Council Members Adderhold, Lewis, and Reynolds. It's just there for a memo so that you have it. It's on page 287 of your packet. The next item I see, Assemblywoman President Kelly Cooper has been waiting patiently to give and provide her report. So we welcome you and looking forward to your report. Go ahead, Kelly.
Thank you. This feels just like a borough assembly meeting, actually. Always screwing up and saying that stuff on the air. Okay, so we received a grant for $15,500 from the State of Alaska Division of Homeland Security and Emergency Management to purchase geographic information system software. The purpose of this grant is to help communities implement hazard mitigation measures following a presidential major disaster declaration. So we'll be using this to purchase GIS software that evaluate land cover data, derivative hazard, and risk information. This is a vital component for evaluating land cover during wildland, fire, or flood response operations. This software fits right over our existing GIS software. If you've ever been on the borough's website, our GIS system's amazing. So this will just flow seamlessly with that, and it'll help identify information related to hazardous fuels, hydrologic features, structure locations, and building footprints, as well as impervious surfaces and transportation infrastructure. So we're really excited to get that up and running. We have an ordinance being introduced that will authorize some unused funds from a grant in 2001 to Cook Inlet Regional Advisory Citizens Council to use these remaining funds for preparation of a report on the current status of underwater aging pipelines in Cook Inlet in coordination with Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation. Following the recent incidents involving a leaking natural gas line in Cook Inlet, Governor Walker directed ADEC to make the aging pipelines in Cook Inlet the number one priority. These funds will help begin that process. I serve as co-chair of the Borough's Emergency Services Work Group, and we will be having a community meeting Wednesday at 6 o'clock here in these chambers to share information about the KBB Highway Corridor Service Area Project and what it means for our borough. We'll bring maps of the proposed corridor service area. It's informal, it shouldn't last more than an hour. Our bill that is necessary to have this happen is moving right along in the legislature, and we're pretty excited about this whole thing. And as a board member for Alaska Municipal League's board, we're asking communities to send emails to their House representatives in opposition to HB 132. This is the bill relating to transportation network companies and transportation network drivers. This bill isn't just about Uber and Lyft. It's about the state eroding local government control. The Senate version of this bill has already passed, and HB 132 is sitting in Rules Committee and could go for a floor vote. Please encourage your House representatives that transportation regulations need to stay in your municipality's local control, and ask them not to push that through this session, that it just needs to die right there where it's at. That's all I have.
Thank you, Assemblywoman Cooper. I noticed there was something different about you when you came forward tonight, and I don't know if the rest of the council, I'm sure they may be aware, but you were now are a woman of distinction. You were recognized Saturday night, and so we'd like to just break Friday night, break protocol one more time and congratulate you. Congratulations. And Councilwoman Lewis's, or council member, Lewis's wife was recognized as a council or as a woman of wisdom also, so congratulations to her too. But thank you both for your service and, you know, being there Friday night and seeing all the women in Homer that were there on behalf that Haven House has sponsored these distinctions. It was pretty incredible to see the power of the women that we have here in Homer, you know. But
and
thank
I would just like to add, it's really nice to see more men attending that event, because the work that the Haven House does affects all families, male, female, and children. So thank you all to the men that were there as well.
Thank you. Thank you for your report. That takes us now to the commissions and board reports. The first, Library Advisory Board. Is there anybody here? Come forward. Thank you.
My name is Mark Massey, and I'm representing the Library Advisory Board tonight. You folks have had a long, long day, so I'm going to try and keep it short and sweet. Just tell you some positive things that have been happening at the library here. This quarter, the first quarter of 17, the about total number of items that have been circulated is up about 12% from last year. The month that just passed, from March, is it, to February to March, there was a total number of 15,580 total of items circulated, and that includes books. You know, the library is being really well used and taken care of very, very well. The Friends of the Libraries just bought a one-year subscription to a site called lynda.com that anybody in this town can use. And if you have a library card and your PIN number, you go to the library website and you can get on, you can take a course in graphics, Photoshop, 2 or 3D illustration, software development, and a lot of positive classes about software development that are way, way over my pay grade. It's up to you. And lastly, if any of you just happen to feel that your wallets are getting a little heavy and you can't fit them in the back pocket anymore, or your purse weighs too much, there's going to be a setup at the library where you can go in and there's going to be a list of books, and you can purchase a book from Amazon off this list, and the library will be very, very happy to put a nameplate in it and say it came from your son or daughter, or you dedicated it to someone, and we'd like to see everybody do that. So once again, thank you very, very much for your support for the library and for your work that you did today. Thank you.
Yep. Thank you, and thank you also. And Council Member Reynolds has a question for you, if you would, sir.
And thank you for your presentation and for volunteering on that board. I was just curious, was explored, and I'm sure this is probably a program that Amazon has set up, but is there any possibility of doing that through the local bookstore instead of from Amazon?
Oh, I'm sorry. I neglected to tell you. You can go down to the Homer bookstore and do the same thing.
Well, thank you
for reminding me.
Yeah, and thank you for your, on Saturday night, too, the Friends of the Homer Library recognized Millie Martin as a lifelong learner. So thank you again for that. And that was a great evening at the library. So next item on our agenda is Homer Advisory Planning Commission. Welcome, Roberta. Jack in the Box, you're back.
I'm back. I'm filling in for Tom Boss. He had to leave. So I'm just going to read his notes. Two preliminary plat time extensions were granted. Public hearing regarding the sales in the marine industrial, auto sales in the marine industrial district, we held one. Three properties requesting preliminary plat requests and considerations was another piece of business. A public hearing request regarding a vacation of road easement. And finally, a comprehensive plan update and discussion regarding Chapter 8 Economic Vitality, which is a really fascinating one, actually, in the comprehensive plan. That was it.
Well, thank you, Roberta, and Councilmember Struzas has a question.